Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Hello, and welcome back to Spark Radio. I am your host, Ms. Melanie, and as always, it is my pleasure to spend some time with you to share those wonderful strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge to empower you to create the life you desire and deserve. We are still celebrating Passion Awareness Month in the month of October, so we'll be talking about some wonderful opportunities related to living your passions this evening. We will also be exploring more concepts in Yvonne Oswald's book, Every Word Has Power. It's come up several times over the course of the past week in some different conversations, and it's very timely in support of choosing language, which in turn contributes to success, to feelings, to energy. Well, and we'll get to that in a little bit. It is a beautiful fall day here in the Midwest of the United States, with a sudden temperature drop of about 20 degrees in the last 48 hours. So we enjoy the longer into some summer temps in the mid-70s Fahrenheit, which is higher than normal for us. And they're talking about the possibility of a hard freeze by the weekend. So we are definitely transitioning our seasons here. And we've talked in the past several weeks about those transitions in our lives and how we approach the transitions. Tonight we're going to focus on how you support your choice to have positive focus, positive energy, positive language, especially when times and events can challenge that. And that is indeed happening. And the question is, what are you choosing to focus on? Are you choosing to focus on problems, opportunities, challenges, blessings? What is it you appreciate in your life? Have you stopped to think about that in the midst of what may be creating some stress for you if you are being downsized? If you found that you lost a lot of money with the current financial situation in the United States? I did look at my quarterly report for my 401k, and yes, I lost thousands, and then I closed it and said, and I will gain thousands. So it's being able to make that switch in thinking, which again, research has shown when people choose an optimistic outlook, there is increased blood flow to the problem-solving area of the brain. And increased blood flow means increased activity. So it's really tough to focus on challenges when we're stuck in the oh, poor me and complaining. And it's not to minimize the gravity of some people's situations because it's pretty intense. It's how long you want to stay in that negative crisis kind of mode and how can you move from that into what's next? Is there something better? And the answer almost always is yes. Better is relative, of course. So we'll talk about some of those resources and thinking about how we react to things. I'll share an Alex story. Alex is my 7-year-old. And last night he was trying to make a culinary concoction that his father makes from time to time. And Dad was in bed and he'd gone to bed early, and Alex had done a number of things last evening, and supper wasn't among them till later. And he brought in a small bowl with salsa and cheese. And then the concoction that Dad makes is salsa and chips warmed up, and I think he sprinkled cheese on top. I'm not sure. But anyways, Alex was coming into the living room asking me how long Dad cooks it. He stepped on a toy or something, lost his balance, and did about 180-degree spin. Of course, almost in slow motion, you can see the cheese and the salsa just fly in an arc across the living room. Carpet on the train tracks, the trains, my tote bag, the carpet. Did I say the carpet? And, of course, all I could do as I watched this happen in slow motion was go, ah, and I stopped. And Alex said, oh, Mom, I'm sorry. I said, I know it was an accident. Let's clean it up. So we'll grab some paper towels there to get the big pieces. The cheese, of course, being lighter, flew much further than the salsa. And there was still some left in the bowl. I think the way that the cheese might have helped it, I don't know. But it, we began to clean it up. And he got the little handheld vac and was vacuuming around. And I said, some of the trash just had to be rinsed off in the sink. And then we got the green machine to try to clean the carpet. Well, I think that ran out of water. And at this point, it's bedtime. And so we kind of left. We got most of it off the carpet. And my comment to him, as he said he was sorry again, I said, you know what? It was an accident. And what did we learn? And if we learned that it's a good idea to keep food on the linoleum part of the floor. Or if you have a question about food, come ask the question and leave the food in the kitchen. So those kinds of things. Could I have gotten angry and yelled? And yeah, but it wouldn't have helped. I thanked him for helping clean up and being careful about the cleanup and reinforced, and what did you learn for next time? And the cleanup went a whole lot faster, I think, than had I focused on something different, which is where I was tempted to go when I saw it flying across the room. Ah! And we do that sometimes. And so it is a conscious choice in what we do with that. And I did have about 5 seconds of just my jaw dropped and saying nothing while I was processing how I was going to react in front of him and what I wanted him to learn. Because you know what? Sure, we can clean the carpet. We cleaned up the mess. It wasn't a catastrophe. And so what went through my head was, what did I want him to learn from that? And there was a quote I read at www.quotegarden.com today, which unfortunately I didn't write down. But it went something like, don't worry that children don't listen to what you say, worry that they watch what you do. Again, you know, we're powerful models in the lives of others. Children, coworkers, employees, they watch. And our actions do speak volumes to them. So what values do you communicate through your actions, through your language? Are you truly walking the talk of your actions and your language, or not? You know, it's one thing when we say something, and then we have to take a look at, are we living it? Are we practicing it? And sometimes when we're teaching others, that's reinforcing it for us. I know every time I facilitate a passion test seminar or workshop, it reinforces for me the strategies. And so it's helpful to keep bringing it into the forefront of thinking again. Because we can be so overwhelmed with everything that's going on, with everything that there is to do, all the responsibilities that we have, that we forget. So put it where you can see it. Put it out in front of you to remind yourself. What have you committed to? Do you have a journal that you write in that you... I see, and I have one that I write in from time to time. Regular journaling, daily journaling, it works for a few days, and then it doesn't work for me. So I just gave myself permission to say, you know what, it's okay. And, oh, almost pulled my phone on the floor. Just because something works a particular way for others doesn't mean it will work the same way for you. And sometimes we get stuck in the shoulds. And we, instead of adjusting and making it work for us, we get negative and down on ourselves about the fact that I'm not doing it right. I must have messed it up because it's not working. And I don't do it every day. And you know what? Then start today. And if it didn't work today and you wake up tomorrow, then say, I'm starting today. And give yourself that permission to change it, alter it, because your style, your needs may be just a little bit different. Often we recommend in the different programs that I facilitate that you try it the way it's written first, especially if it's research-based. And I know some of the programs are research-based about there's a reason that this is in this sequence or this is in this order. And sometimes there isn't. I've heard a number of people in talking about meditation that, you know, some people think there's only one right way to meditate, and others say there isn't. So the question is, do you want to change? Or not? You may. You know, there's that, when the pain is staying the same, outweighs the pain of change, and then people look to change. Until then, even though it may not be great, there's some security and predictability. And often it's easier to choose that than to choose change. Oops, I lost my chat box. Can we get it back? Let's see if we have anybody who's listening in via chat right now. I want to thank those of you who'd sent some emails this last week. We appreciate hearing from you. And if you've got suggestions for topics or a challenge you're facing and wonder if we have some resources, shoot us a question. And you can reach us either through Blog Talk Radio or if you visit our website, which sponsors our show, that's www.brainbonanza.com. That's BRAINBONANZA. And you can find a number of free resources there, links to other websites, free reports. And as long as we're on that subject, it is, as we said, still Passion Awareness Month, about discovering and gaining clarity about your passions, what brings you joy. And so there's a title on that on our website. You can click the word more or click on the passion test on the left and check out the online passion test tool is available, which has an awesome decision meter in it. And you can give someone permission to see it. And if you would like to do a 20-minute consultation with me at no cost, you can send me an email and request that. Also, there is an awesome 4-minute movie about living your passions. You can click there as well. And finally, to celebrate Passion Awareness Month, whether or not you buy the paperback second edition of the Passion Test, there are many, many free gifts, audio files, webinar files, free reports, programs, teleclasses. And those are available through October 31st. So I invite you to go to brainbonanza.com, click on the Passion Test, and then go view the movie. And once you view the movie, then scroll that page, because I do believe it's on the page with the free gifts. Now, if it isn't, well, I'll tell you what, let me just verify as we're on the air that that's really still active. So we'll click on the Passion Test. And then from there, we'll go to the movie. It's a wonderful refocusing, beautiful imagery and music. Oh, there's a button, too, on our site on the Passion Test. You can view the movie, take the Passion Test online here, or contact me for a free 20-minute consultation using the Passion Test online. Or order the Passion Test Second Edition and get 40-plus bonuses. So, yeah, there's many more than that now. Many people have contributed in celebration of Passion Awareness Month. So let's click on View the Movie. And then I'll have to stop it because you'll hear the music, I'm sure, over the computer. I just want to verify for you that that really is that page, because it can be frustrating when you get information from someone. And if it takes you to the top, what could it mean to you to live a life on fire? And you need to scroll down a bit before you get to the movie. And there are some gifts there. Okay. And there's a place to order. And then it's step two. Okay. So where's the movie? I think I may have gotten a little scroll happy. And it wasn't finished loading the page yet. Well, yeah, just scroll down and then it'll say, have you watched the International Passion Day movie? Free gifts to follow your passions. So it is there. Wonderful. So sometime this week, you may want to just give yourself a gift. Go view that movie for about 4 minutes. And then check out some of the wonderful free gifts. There's an interview with Marcy, Janet and Marcy Shymoff from Happy for No Reason to Living with Passion. And so, wonderful, wonderful opportunities. So let's get back to what you can do for yourself this week to be self-full, to choosing your passions, to having those tools. Let me get my switchboard back here. If you have questions or comments about living your passions and choosing your language and your perspective, please give us a call at 347-215-8390. So we're going to spend a little bit of time with Yvonne Oswald tonight via her book, and I will put a link. For those of you who are regular listeners to Spark, you know that I have mentioned this book several times, and I am now focused on only two books, I think. We're doing a book study with John Maxwell's Developing the Leader Within You at the Credit Union, and then I'm focusing on Every Word Has Power because it fits so well in the work that I do in speaking and training and work as a growth catalyst and accountability partner. And how we can have the greatest intentions, and we sabotage ourselves with the language that we choose. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about, well, we'll come back to decision-making another time, but the idea of having positive words, positive decisions. And being able to, and here, just as I said earlier, one of the questions here is, do you nurture your relationships or do you stay in a less than happy relationship because you are, quote, comfortable, unquote? And very often, the first answer that people give is really not the problem or the issue. There's something underneath. It's like peeling an onion, as Shrek says. And so asking that question, and in the therapy session, Yvonne had asked this client, why are you here today? And her answer was, I'm sick of being in debt. Why else are you here? I don't want to be poor. Why else are you here? I don't want to end up in the streets sick and poor. When I'm old, I want a better life. At last, I had something positive to work with, Yvonne said. So what will you be doing when you have a better life? I'll be living stress-free and I won't be poor anymore. And she talks about those keywords Karen had used and therefore, the keywords in her thought patterns, they were concentrating on what she didn't want. And in the passion test, getting clarity about what we do want and putting our intentions out there very clearly about what we do want, putting attention on what we do want, and then releasing it with no tension and being open to what and how things may show up. in those opportunities and still taking action on those opportunities. It's like, I'm trying to make, oh, Mike Dooley, I think, was talking about this in his Engaging the Magic CD series about if there was a, someone told you that there was going to be a huge influx of fish in 48 hours and you could make a ton of money. Would you sit in the living room and go, oh, yay, a lot of fish? Or would you go buy boats and fishing poles and hire some people and be right out there? And that's the part about, you know, when there's an opportunity about taking action. And, yes, you still need to do, make decisions, et cetera. But sometimes people, when they're thinking about whether it's the passion test or the secret or other tools, that, you know what, I'll learn about it and then I'll just sit back and let it happen. Well, sometimes it works that way, but most of the time, you should say, and most of the time, it involves a willingness on our part to take action on those opportunities. And so thinking about focusing on what it is you do want. So if you find yourself talking about, I don't want to be this or I don't want to do that, that you may want to work on reframing that language to focusing on what you do want. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. There's some strategies that Yvonne has, and it's in the chapter on the power of clear decisions. And the idea that your unconscious mind remembers every good thing that ever happened to you and will remind you of every good incident when you focus your attention on the word good. And if you're thinking about good, the word good, you feel better with not knowing why. And she suggests the reason for this is that each keyword has its own frequency, its own energy, and that there are powerful high-energy words like excitement, joy, success, love, and those tend to vibrate higher and faster, increasing your I-feel-good feelings. And then there are low-energy words, particularly words with a negative emotional association, such as sadness or guilt, that resonate at a lower frequency, and that they can make you feel less than great by literally lowering your energy levels. Now, you probably have known people who've walked into a room, and they bring energy in with them, and the room lights up with energy. And then there are other people who walk into the room and seem to suck energy from other people around them. So part of it is what are they thinking about? What kinds of language? What perspective? What focus? And she goes on to say that 20% of the words you use have strong emotional undertones, which cause you to react either positively or negatively. And did you know being happy adds 9 years to your life? It's been proven that low-energy thoughts lower the immune system and make people more illness-prone. And in a BBC News study published in 2003, researchers from the University of Wisconsin measured the electrical brain activity of 50 people between the ages of 57 and 60. Those with the highest levels of activity in the right prefrontal cortex, the pessimists, hardly reacted to a flu vaccine. Those with the strongest activity in the left prefrontal cortex, the happy thoughts people, had much stronger immune systems and produced many more antibodies in response to the vaccine. Interesting. Then she also adds, doing an internet search on the word good brought up more than 1 billion websites. She typed in bad and found half that many. And if you think about inside your mind, she suggests, like those websites represent all the memories and chains of meaning associated with the words. And so then she goes on to say that by focusing your language on the word good, you get twice as many results in your life as when you focus on the word bad. The really good news is high-energy words seem to exhibit a field of dominance over low-energy words, which is why we eventually revert to optimism. So how do you describe something less than good without using the word bad? Now, and I've, even when I meet people, colleagues at work or family or friends, and we'll say, how are you? And they'll say, oh, not bad. And so I'll say, oh, does that mean good? Oh, I guess. Wouldn't it be easier to say good? Because remember, those of you who are regular listeners, and we so appreciate you, and we invite all of you who've checked into the show to become regular listeners, you've heard about the power of pink elephants. Do not think of a pink elephant do not see in your mind's eye a pink elephant. Do not imagine a pink elephant. Do not imagine pink feet, pink ears, a pink tail, pink trunk. Were you successful? Probably not. And I've been using that training tool for many, many years. And Yvonne goes on to say she used the language of not good instead of bad earlier. And if you say I'm not good, it doesn't have the same squirmy effect in your stomach as the word I'm bad, I feel bad. It's because your unconscious mind doesn't compute something that is a not, a negation. In order for you not to think or imagine something, you have to think or imagine it first. That's the point of do not think of a pink elephant. It's the power of the pink elephant. And we tend, our inner mind thinks in images or symbols. So what you want to do is structure your language to create those positive images about what you want to happen, what you desire, she says. To bring those inner thoughts and your outer world into alignment, the first step is change your internal and external speech patterns. Change your language so that you speak in higher energy words. And then she hears the tool. And here we're going to now start sharing those tools for the rest of the show. She talks about switch as a word she uses to remind herself to notice when she's using low energy words rather than high energy words. And to get a switch buddy. So if they hear you, they can remind you, switch. And if in her training workshops, she has participants play a switch game, and they get points for catching other people who need to switch. And they give up a point if they use low-energy language. They get points if they catch themselves before their partner or partners do. Because the first step in change is awareness, becoming consciously aware of how we're saying things, what kind of language are we using. You change your attitude, your relationships can improve. And when you're in the practice of making the switches from low energy to high energy words, it becomes second nature. It becomes more automatic. Here are some common phrases, and here are some switches that you could choose. So that person who says, how are you today? Oh, I'm not bad, can say, I'm quite good. And the response when, you know, someone says thank you and the answer you get is no problem can be switched to you're welcome. That's bad becomes that's not good. Remember the brain deletes the not, so that's not good. Your brain's getting that's good. Don't worry becomes you'll be fine. Put some effort into it becomes put some energy into it. It's too hard becomes it's not easy. I'm sick becomes I don't feel well. I forgot becomes I didn't remember. I've been working hard switches to I've been working well. And don't cry switches to that's right. And that last switch, she says, is interesting because it gives a child or adult permission to express and release emotion. Excuse me, many of us either were taught or told not to express our emotions, particularly crying. And then she goes on later in Chapter 5 to talk about why it's important to express and release emotions. And then if you've run into a situation where you're like, I just can't think of a switch, then she suggests replace the word with interesting. So I'm finding this, instead of saying difficult, I'm finding this interesting. Another switch sentence is, I've got a great opportunity for growth, or I'm learning some lessons now. I'm looking for a solution, she suggests too. All right, here's some more tips for successful switching of your language to more powerful, positive language. And she reminds the readers, remember, you aren't just switching your words, you're switching on your life. So I'm challenging you in the next week ahead to try to switch your language to being more positive. So let's take a look or a listen. I can see it. You just get to hear it, enjoy it verbally. If you have questions or comments about the power of language, give us a call at 347-215-8390. So here are some tips for successful switching. Number one, speak in the now as though it has already happened. Be realistic so your conscious mind believes it's possible. It's easy for me to have a wonderful relationship now is a switch instead of I will have. And the reason for saying it in the now is that as long as you're saying you will have and it's future focused, your unconscious mind is happy to believe it will happen in the future and there's no immediate need for action because it's not in the future yet. So speak in the now. I am enjoying prosperity now. Number two, whenever you are planning something you want to succeed, add a health connection. For example, my new venture is successful now because with more money in the bank, I can relax more and be healthier. Why is it important to add that health connection? Yvonne Oswald suggests that the conscious mind's prime directive is to preserve the health and well-being of the body. And she goes more into that in Chapter 3. So far we have one, speak in the now, creates a sense of urgency and action for the unconscious. Adding a health connection speaks to your unconscious mind's prime directive to preserve the health and well-being of the body. Number three, use the words because and now as often as you can. The conscious mind likes the word because it answers the question why. And as an adult, you know that if someone just tells you to do something, there's probably this is why. The unconscious mind likes now because it's like pressing the word enter on your keyboard. It jumps to action. It needs to act with now. So now we've added the words because and now as often as we can. Number four, clear don't or don't do something from your dealings with other people. For example, instead of saying don't drop that on the floor, switch to hold that carefully. And again, this is something that I've been training for years, and it's a very powerful lesson. People keep coming back and saying, I'm so grateful. That's helped me so much in communicating with my kids or my spouse or my employees. Instead of telling them what you don't want, switch it to what you do want. And again, if you can have it be an image, it's powerful. Number five, clear have to, could have, and should from your self-talk. These words imply obligation. There's some resentment that can come with it because you feel like it's somebody else's decision or action over you. So switch to, I'm ready to do my work now, from I should do my work now. Oh, I could have, no. So have to, could have, should, they're clear. And you're talking about what you're going to do now in this moment, because the present is really all we have, right? Right. Number six, clear the word try from your vocabulary. And she says we use this word in hypnotherapy to ensure that someone fails. And I've always, somewhere on the line in my training, had learned that try is like a psychological cop-out, because you can try for 2 seconds and be successful. And the brain goes, woohoo, I succeeded because I tried. So if we clear that, I'm trying to be successful switches to I am more successful every day, or I am more successful moment to moment. Number seven, and you'll catch if you think back to what I said, but earlier, I'm focusing on clearing but from my vocabulary. But can imply judgment, and you can replace but with and, a pause, a comma, period. So, for example, you might say, you did that well, but you need to correct the spelling. Well, whatever comes before the but just flew out the window, right? So you can change it to, you did that well, and perhaps just check over your spelling. But it's also often followed by excuses for not doing something. I'd like to exercise, but, yeah, so we're going to clear but. So now we've added clear don't. Clear have to, could have, should have. Clear try, clear but. Number eight, state what something isn't on purpose. This was the V8 hit yourself in the head moment for me. Because I've been teaching for years about the brain has challenges processing negation because we tend to think in images and we process in images. So we have to see it first before we can not see it. Well, the flip side is true. So if you want to say something is really hard, think switch. This is really not easy. Again, your brain goes over the not, focuses on the easy. So, and you're having a more positive feeling about having easy in your statement, right? And so when I talk to Alex about his piano, he gets frustrated. And when he gets new songs, Mom, it's too hard. I said, well, honey, after you practice for a week, how do you feel about it at the end of the week? Oh, it's easy. I said, okay, so you're saying it's not easy when you start, and then every time you practice, it gets easier, right? Yep. So trying to help him switch out of that negative language. So it's not easy when I start. It is easy after I practice for a week. If that switch then helps you to put a high-energy keyword in that statement with the isn't. So it's okay if you catch yourself doing it. Just click switch and come up with another replacement statement. Number 9. Make a point of consciously choosing and using high-energy words, such as gratitude, laughter, kindness, love, abundance, success, joy, freedom, power, and health in your everyday speaking and thoughts. And she suggests choose one word, write it, use it, act on it, live and breathe it for a whole day. Now, how do you know high-energy from low-energy words? Well, there are a number of ways, and we're going to talk just I'll tell you, to get the book, because she has in the back a list of those some exercises to switch low energy to high energy phrases in the appendix, and there's also the top optimistic high energy words and low energy words to clear from your language. And so, a number of those in there. Excuse me, I have to cough. Still working on those fall allergies, so thank you for indulging me. And then she spends a little bit of time in this chapter on the power of clear decisions talking about switch body and nourishment words. And can you think yourself slim? Absolutely. As you talk about your body and your eating habits, be conscious of what you say and write down replacement phrases. A colleague and I have been talking a lot, instead of talking about diet and losing weight, et cetera, we talk about making healthy lifestyle choices. And healthy lifestyle choices that help us get to our ideal weight. And so she gives some examples related to that as well, that the word diet becomes eating plan or nourishment plan. Fat becomes not slim. Junk food becomes empty filler food. I feel guilty about eating too much becomes how interesting I chose chocolate. How else can I nourish myself today? I shouldn't eat all of this. Remember, we're striking should, clearing should, becomes I'll eat just half of this. I was bad today becomes I didn't do well, very well today. I'm doing better from now on. I'm feeling down, which tends to pull us down further, becomes I'm clearing some emotions right now. And then I'm ready to choose some others. Power your thoughts to direct your destiny. She recommends switch on your life. How do you know when that switch is on? She says you'll know when you feel happy instead of defensive as others point out your low energy words, because at that point you're truly approaching a paradigm shift that clears your language and brings fabulous changes to your life. So we've got, just about 5 minutes left. Again, highly recommend Every Word Has Power. There's so much in here. Strategies, action plans, visualization exercises, clarification exercises. So, quick review that we want to switch from low energy negative words to positive high energy words, because we want to feel good, and when we feel good, we have more energy. Like you see a cycle starting to happen. And we want to have positive images created by our internal, how we talk to ourselves, language, and our external language and how we talk to others. I challenge you this week to play switch. play switch. If you catch yourself in a negative low energy statement, turn it around. And you can do that with, here are those 9 tips that we reviewed. 1, speak in the now as if it's already happened, being realistic. Why? Because it's like pushing the inner key in the unconscious. It needs to happen now. 2, add a health connection. You use your unconscious mind's directive to preserve your health. 3, use the words because and now. Because gives the conscious mind a why. Now, get your unconscious engaged. 4 was clear don't. Put the image of what you want. 5, clear have to, could have, and should. Because you want to feel in control, you can choose. Instead of I should do my work, I'm ready to do my work. I choose to do my work. A lot of switches there. 6, clear the word try. As Yoda says, do or do not. There is no try. 7, clear but from your vocabulary and replace it with and, a period, a comma. State what something isn't on purpose. So if you find yourself saying this is really hard, what isn't it? Well, this isn't easy. Higher energy word. And 9, make a point of consciously using high energy words every day. So if gratitude is your word of the day, find as many opportunities as you can to think gratitude, talk gratitude, and see if that makes a positive difference in your life. You know, on the back cover of the book, it talks about the idea that our self-talk produces 100% of our results. So how can we use that? Because we want to create the life we desire and deserve. So using these strategies empowers you. And she talks a little bit at the beginning, too, about the development of the brain and how the emotional area of the brain is a little more primitive, and a lot of our language comes from those emotions. And we tend to focus there. And switching to higher energy language moves us into the cortex, the neocortex, a newer area of the brain. I'll let you read more about that because we don't have time to do that quite yet tonight. So I was talking about the chapter, The Power of Clear Decisions. Chapter 2, The Power of Self-Worth. Chapter 3, The Power of Awareness. 4, The Power of Focus and Intention. 5, The Power of Letting Go. Chapter 6, The Power of Communication and Understanding. 7 is The Power of Relationships. 8 is The Power of Spiritual Connection. And 9 is The Power to Change the World. So I challenge you this week, switch. Play switch. And go out and take a look at Every Word Has Power. Check out your public library. Check out your bookstore. It's available at Amazon. And enjoy the journey of learning to be in control of your language. In our final minute, I thank you so much for joining me for this segment and for every segment that you listen to of Spark Radio. Our mission is to provide you with those strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, or knowledge to empower you to create the life that you desire and deserve. Please take a moment to visit brainbonanza.com to learn about other tools and resources that we have and how we can best serve you as you continue to choose to create great days and to make a positive difference in the lives that you touch. Because your words, your actions, create ripples in the lives of others. Are you sending out positive, gentle ripples? Or are you sending out massive tidal waves? Think about that. Are people better because they interacted with you or someone that you interacted with? You know, sometimes that extra smile and thank you at the clerk at the store makes a better day for the next customer who comes through. So, in the week ahead, play switch. Check out the free gifts at the Passion Test, because life is not a dress rehearsal. We only get to live it forward. Keep learning, keep growing. And I hope that you live your passions That's just such a high energy word. With success, with joy, and in service to others. Join us next week. Until then, stay safe.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.